But at this point, in the middle of this polio epidemic following World War II, there was a change that took place in the federal government that was to seal our fate for many decades to come. It was one of those flukes of history, perhaps. But President Eisenhower, in a situation where there was a shakeup, a political shakeup at the National Institutes of Health, which had been a tiny backwater federal agency, very little funding, no influence, many scientists never even heard of it. It financed a little agricultural research or something like that. Virtually nothing. But there was a shakeup at several federal agencies, and the NIH had been sponsoring the polio vaccine project, which was probably the biggest thing they'd been involved with. There was a problem that developed, there was a shakeup, a new man named James Shannon was appointed by President Eisenhower to take over. He had the dream of building the largest scientific super bureaucracy in the history of the world. His idea was, more science means better science. More money means more scientists, means more data, means more progress, because he equated science with progress and data with science and money with data. The only question all that, more money does hire more scientists and does generate more data, and science has meant progress. The problem is right in the middle of that equation, in that more data does not mean more scientific progress. Science is essentially a process of interpreting the old data. Einstein never did a single experiment in his entire life on relativity. Not one. He never gathered a single data point. He took the data that already existed before 1905 and simply reinterpreted it. He gave it a new interpretation. We call that the theory of relativity, both the special and general theory. Same thing happened with Isaac Newton. Although he performed experiments later in life, his basic formulation of the laws of mechanics and gravity he did based on pre-existing data that everyone was well familiar with, and that was his great advance, was reinterpreting that data. Galileo discovered heliocentrism, that the planets go around the sun and not the sun and the planets around the earth. Again, he did this by interpreting the old data. Again and again and again, all of the great scientific advances have been by realizing that the old data didn't add up to what everyone already believed it added up to. It meant something different. There was a simpler, better, cleaner, more sensible explanation for the data. You develop, in fact, the reverse problem when you begin to pay too many data collecting experimentalists to begin to gather in vast sums of observations. What you do is you create a huge mountain of raw data, and nobody can possibly sift through it or begin to interpret it. On top of that, you begin to hire in enormous numbers of scientists who now are in there for the money, for the career, because it's a good, safe job. You can get paid a good amount just to gather data all day long. It doesn't require much brain power. And you might even get some prizes and be thought of as a very intelligent person. So you began to flood the sciences with people who are very different from Einstein or Newton or Pascal or Leeuwenhoek or Newton, or Galileo, or Copernicus. These were fundamentally new breed of people. These were bureaucrats. They were data collectors. They're not interested in science. And I can say that with some personal experience, having worked now in academia, and I worked in there for 5 years in the graduate school environment, University of California at Berkeley, Department of Molecular and Cell Biology, right in the middle of sort of the hub of this kind of thing. And I can tell you that very few professors in the department had even the slightest interest in science. And I will say that quite bluntly. Now, as the data grows, not only do you have too much to interpret, and most of it being absolutely useless, and a good scientist would have known that right away, not even bothered collecting it, but beyond that, you have the problem that now you've got the herd mentality. One scientist who tries to speak up and say, wait, you know, this data adds up to something else, is going to be driven out of the profession by his hordes and hordes of new peers he never had before. You have a herd effect. It's like lemmings. They're all stampeding in one direction, and how can one lemming resist any longer? You can't go against the crowd. It's just too overwhelming. So, with James Shannon's changes, when he came in as director of the National Institutes of Health, appointed by Eisenhower, when he equated more data and more scientists with more and better science and more progress, he basically was modeling the program after the Manhattan Project, which had spent $2 billion of 1940s money, which you can imagine what that would be today, $2 billion of 1940s currency, and had constructed the nuclear bomb. And shortly after that, and it was already being talked about, we had projects to send up satellites, and then we had the Apollo moon landing, which was based on a similar kind of a concept. Throw a huge amount of money at an engineering problem, figure out a way to solve the problem, and go do it. Make the nuclear bomb, put a man on the moon. The problem is that for biology or for basic science, this doesn't work. You can, if you put enough money in, engineer a solution to something if you already understand the laws of physics. But if you don't know what the cause of cancer is, and you don't know what the cause of AIDS is or any other disease, heart disease, if you're not sure, more money and more data does not help you understand that. Once you know the cause, more money could help you develop a solution. But we don't know the causes of these diseases, as much as scientists will try to tell you otherwise, which is why we have not cured these diseases. Had we understood the causes, we most likely would have cured those diseases by now. Absolutely, with the amount of money that the federal government is spending.